This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail, of the Imam Development Program with you bi-idhnillahi ta'ala for a short overview of our recent trip to Zambia, Zimbabwe and Malawi. In 13 days, we covered these three southern African countries. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, this visit was full of fawaid and benefits, walhamdulillah, and in this audio, we will try to go through some of them, inshallah. So, we had the primary objective in Zambia. What was the primary objective? It was, number one, to interview imams who had applied to the Imam Development Program. Number two, to do the groundwork for the IDP setup. Number three, to network. Network with individuals, with organizations, institutes, etc., etc. As for Zimbabwe, then the aim and objective there was to get the 25 IDP imams together for a retreat, walhamdulillah. And as for Malawi, the aim and objective there was to do the site visits of those imams that we had not yet visited. So Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, in our previous trip updates, we covered information with regards to Malawi, when we first went there to Malawi, the history of Malawi, etc. And then mashallah, when we expanded into Zimbabwe, this was my second or third trip now to Zimbabwe. We had discussed the history of Zimbabwe, etc. So Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the new kid on the block is Zambia, inshallah. We are looking to expand in Zambia. That's why we were there. We did many interviews with imams, walhamdulillah. What do we know about Zambia? What do you know about Zambia? Well, Zambia is a landlocked country. It borders seven countries, subhanallah. So there's the Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo. There's Tanzania, there's Malawi, there's Mozambique, there's Zimbabwe, there's Botswana and Namibia. They all surround Zambia from all sides. What's the capital of Zambia? It is Lusaka. Lusaka. And Zambia gained independence from Britain. So from Britain, take note. So Zambia, Zimbabwe and Malawi were former British colonies. Allahu musta'an. Zambia gained independence from Britain in 1964, and Kenneth Kaunda, he was the first president of the Independent Republic of Zambia. There was also a time when Zambia, Zimbabwe and Malawi, they were all one federation. They all made up one country. So it was between 1953 and 1963, those 10 years, they were all together. Zambia was called Northern Rhodesia. Northern Rhodesia. Whereas Zimbabwe was Southern Rhodesia and Malawi was called Nyasaland. Nyasaland. So it was the Federation of Rhodesia and Nyasaland, the southern and the northern parts of this Rhodesia land. And Rhodesia was named after who? Cecil John Rhodes, the British. Allahu musta'an. Anyway, today the Republic of Zambia, it is an official Christian country. As per the constitution of 1996, it is an official Christian nation. It's divided into 10 provinces. You find one of the provinces called Copperbelt. Copper belt, because that's the main export of Zambia. Copper is the main export. And as per Wikipedia, subhanallah, that the Muslims make up 0.5%. The Muslims make up 0.5% of the population, whereas the Baha'is, Baha'ullah and the followers, etc., the Baha'i faith, they make up 1.5%, subhanallah, jayid, Allahu musta'an. As for majority of the population, then they are Christian. As for the currency exchange, $1 gets you 16 to 17 kwacha. One South African rand gets you about 1.1, 1.2 Zambian kwacha. So they're almost on par, almost on par. And recently there was a change of government. A new party took over. There's been a change of government. And ever since the change of government, the currency exchange has improved slightly in favor of the Zambians. And as is the norm now, when it comes to travel, you require a COVID test to enter into the country. You require a COVID test before you leave the country. And that's the norm everywhere. Alhamdulillah. With regards to COVID and the numbers, then most of these countries are currently not in their peak. There was a peak. There was the third wave in around June, July. And Allah musta'an, in Zambia, they lost quite a few good, influential, important Muslims. Allah musta'an, Allah musta'an. After that short introduction with regards to Zambia, let's move on to the details of our trip. Well, before leaving, we had consulted with individuals that we knew in Zambia. We tried to ask others, do you know anyone in Zambia, any of the ulama, the du'at, organizations, etc. And so we tried to reach out to whomsoever we were able. And this began months ago. And then eventually on the 26th of July 2021, we opened up the applications for Zambians. And so any imam, alim, scholar, maulana, sheikh, muallima, apa, etc., they were free to apply if they wanted to. I messaged every available Zambian contact that I had, even asked those individuals, please direct us, grant us contact numbers for influential individuals, ulama, etc., etc., organizations. And so whatever we received, alhamdulillah, we tried to reach out, we tried to message them, send them some information with regards to the Imam Development Program, state to them that in reality we are remote control coming from South Africa, you are people on the ground, you are the people of the country, and we need to make your Shura, etc., etc. And so we reached out to them. Even we asked local organizations here, you have any contacts, etc. And so we did that groundwork. And alhamdulillah, many responded to our messages. So that was the first step. And after receiving so many applications, plus minus around 60 applications from Zambia, then we decided, okay, khair inshallah, it is worth us now going to Zambia, like we've started in Lesotho, Malawi, Zimbabwe. The next natural progression would be to Zambia, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, tickets were booked. Myself, I traveled alone. The plan was Zambia, then hop over to Zimbabwe, do the retreat with all 25 imams there, then move on to Malawi, insha'Allah. And so one trip, three countries. Walhamdulillah, we landed in Lusaka on Monday, the 20th of September. Sheikh Musa Saeed picked me up from the airport. Sheikh Musa Saeed, I had met him a few times in some of the conferences of the Ittihad Ulama Ifriqiya, Council of African Scholars, and also maybe one or two of the Lajnatu Da'wah fi Ifriqiya conferences and programs. And so I had that relationship with him. He said, you know, I will pick you up from the airport bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And so he volunteered. Walhamdulillah, he met us at the new airport. It's a new airport built by the previous government, and this was built by the Chinese. And so it's a very nice new airport, very spacious. Walhamdulillah. So we headed off to the hotel, the Africana Hotel, left the bags at the hotel, and then I went with Sheikh Musa to visit some of the Islamic centers. He said that they are close by. And so we went to Makeni Islamic Center. MashaAllah, very beautiful, massive in size. They have a teacher's college there, a registered teacher's college where Muslims and non-Muslims from outside, they come there and they study to become teachers. There's a massive masjid on site. There's two schools on premises. There's a social welfare department. And so many, many different institutes, part and parcel of this Makeni Islamic Center. A lot of activities there. Alhamdulillah. And so it was in the afternoon. Classes were out, but we just took a drive around the entire center. Alhamdulillah. Then next to this Makeni Islamic Center is the Jamia Islamiya Darul Uloom. We met up with Maulana Ayub Bobat. Maulana Ayub Bobat, also know him for quite a few years now in many of the Lajnatu Da'wah fi Ifriqiya programs, etc. We would meet. And so alhamdulillah, good brother, we went to the Darul Uloom, met up with him. He took us for a walk around the entire Darul Uloom, showed us the new section that is being built there, mashallah. So that's a typical Darul Uloom, your 6 years of study generally, Alim Fadil course. What was interesting was that the different rooms, the different classrooms, they all have the names of the Sahaba. And this has been a growing trend, and it's a good trend, inshallah. So this is Bab Salman al-Farisi. This is the Bab of Mus'ab ibn Umair. What this creates, it creates, inshallah, within the student, the curiosity to learn more about that companion. Sometimes you might study in a Darul Uloom and you graduate, but you don't really know too much about Salman al-Farisi. You don't know too much about Abu Huraira, radiallahu ta'ala an. You don't know too much about Mus'ab ibn Umair. Well, now that you are studying in the classroom, which is named after Mus'ab ibn Umair, inshallah, it will push you to learn more about that sahabi, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Excellent. So those were the two centers that we had visited in that afternoon. Then Sheikh Musa Sa'id dropped me off at the hotel. And after Salatul Maghrib, Brother Muhammad Patel picked me up. Brother Muhammad Patel, I knew him from Malawi. He's a Zambian, mashallah, and he is active in da'wah, in setting up IERA, their chapter in Zambia. And I met him a few years ago, or maybe last year or the year before, in Malawi. He was there with some of the other IERA brothers from different countries, and they were having like a networking meeting. They were coordinating matters, they were doing interviews, etc. So I got to know him there. Well, alhamdulillah, very good brother, mashallah, tabarakallah. And that Monday, dinner was at his house. But we went for dinner very, very, very late, subhanAllah. Unfortunately, we kept his wife waiting, and we hope she's forgiven us for that. Alhamdulillah. Anyway, so this brother Muhammad Patel, he picks me up, and after Salatul Maghrib, we go to the Makani Islamic Center once again. Why? Because I was liaising with brother Rashid Limbada. Brother Rashid Limbada, I think he is the Amir of this Makani Islamic Center. And before going to Zambia, I had contacted him and said, you know what, this is the Imam Development Program and we want to come there and we want to do interviews, etc., etc. And so he said, I know you. We were together in Umrah. I said, oh, subhanAllah, I've forgotten, Sheikh, please forgive me. Ala kulli hal. So liaised with him and he said, please come to the center. He is there. And so after Salatul Maghrib, we met with him there. Alhamdulillah. And we also met with many of the teachers and the administration of this Islamic center. Makani Islamic Center. There was Mulana Pando there. There was Mulana Harun Zulu, Mulana Ikram. MashaAllah, Mulana Ikram made a lot of our Ikram. And Mulana Shabir Asmal of the Muslim Prison Board here in South Africa, he had given me Mulana Ikram's number. And he said, you know what, he also assists on that side in Zambia. He has like programs, he visits the jails, etc. And so, alhamdulillah, we made contact with him. And he also assisted us in getting around there. Alhamdulillah. There was also Sheikh Mulana Ali. There was Brother Rashid Limbada. And there were a few others. Probably cannot remember all of the names. But mashallah, tabarakallah, that was a session which lasted over 1 hour. Over 1 hour. There were many questions with regards to the Imam Development Program. How does it work? What's the history, etc., etc. And so it was a frank, long discussion, alhamdulillah. And we finished off there, and then we went off to Brother Muhammad Patel's house for that late dinner. Food was extremely tasty, alhamdulillah. And also present was an uncle who had come from Chipata. Chipata is very close to Lilongwe, very close to the border there. So this brother, this uncle, I think his name was something Daya. He had come from Chipata. I think it's like about 8 hour drive, subhanAllah, Jahid, closer to Malawi than Lusaka. So Zambia, if you look at the map, it's a bit of a strange one there. The north is very much north and the south is very much south. Allahu musta'an. And also in Chipata, you had Maulana Yusuf Mutala of the UK, rahimahullah, he had passed away. His brother had opened up a madrasa. Maulana Abdul Rahim, I think his name was, he had opened up a madrasa there in Chipata. Nonetheless, so this brother was present, mashallah. He was an engineer in his previous days of work. And there was also a Maulana Shahid, or Maulana Shahid, from the north. And mashallah, he runs quite a few madrasas in that region. And he had contacted us before we had come to Zambia, and he was trying to liaise with us, etc. And he invited us, please come up there to the north. But we said, it's not not going to be logistically possible. Walhamdulillah, he came down. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. He really looks like a brother who is a Zahid, subhanAllah, away from the matters of the dunya. And in fact, in our trip, quite a few individuals told us some stories about this Mawlana Shahid, subhanAllah, Jaheed, the great difficulty that he has gone through, and there's no lights, there's no electricity, there's no water at times, and he's doing da'wah there for like decades on end, subhanAllah. Allah reward him in this world and in the hereafter. So, alhamdulillah, this was our first day, the Monday, the 20th. It was a day full of activities. Alhamdulillah, it was a day of barakah, mashaAllah. Then the next day, Tuesday the 21st, this was the day we interviewed the imams. And so, alhamdulillah, in the hotel, we hired out one of their conference rooms. And so we began the interviews with the imams from around 7:30. 7:30 until 2 p.m., we were busy in interviews with these plus minus 40-something imams. So the interviews took place at the hotel. We had contacted the imams, given them the details, the time, the venue, etc. And so, alhamdulillah, they met us at the hotel. We also had a presentation on what the Imam Development Program is and what the Imam Development Program is not. We went through the details of that. We stated clearly that the Imam Development Program is a top-up package over and above the salary that the Imam is earning. The Imam Development Program is there to develop, to enhance, to support the Imam to do his job wherever he is doing it, better bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. We're not here to employ imams. We are not here for teaching you to become an imam, etc., etc. We cannot add the imam if his employer does not give permission for him to be added onto the program. All three parties have to be on board. Only then will it work. And so we removed, inshallah, if there was anyone with any false expectation, etc. So all of those matters were covered. We did the interviews until about 2 p.m. Walhamdulillah. And then there was a bit of time for resting. And then at 6:30 in the evening in the same hotel, there was a planned networking meeting. This was primarily aimed at heads of organizations, representatives, institutes, etc., for them to get to know what the Imam Development Program is all about, for them to ask questions, suggestions, ideas, for us to network, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And so that went well, walhamdulillah. Then day 3, Wednesday the 22nd, this was the day that these 40 imams that we interviewed, we shortlisted a few of them that let us go out and do site visits of these imams. Our aim and objective in Zambia was to maybe choose 20 imams. Unfortunately, most likely it seems that we will maybe start with 10 imams instead of 20. Nonetheless, we did site visits of some of these imams who applied, Mawlana Ikram and Mawlana Ali of Makani Islamic. They had taken us around, alhamdulillah. They drove us up and down visiting these various imams. And we went to Gemstone Academy, this is a school there. And subhanAllah, it was said to us that this was started by a revert sister, subhanAllah. Very nice school, mashaAllah. And we were also told that she also runs another orphanage, mashaAllah. Allah grant her increase in khair and barakah. So we visited the Gemstone Academy, this is that school. Then we went to plus minus about 7 masajid. And something to note, one of the masajid we visited, there was an Imam Bamsi. And mashallah, he seemed to be somebody who was very active. When we visited his center, we noticed that there was no sign, there was no board or sign or anything on the main road indicating that within here, inside here, there is a masjid, there's an Islamic center. And somebody could just drive past and you would never know. And so we said to him, Imam, you want to be considered for the Imam Development Program? Well, then you need to put up some sort of sign, paint on the wall that there's an Islamic center here or a masjid, etc. And so send us the picture and then inshallah we will consider you. And subhanallah, Sunday came and went and he never sent us a message. I messaged him on WhatsApp and I said, yeah, Imam, very disappointed in you. Really had hope in you, but subhanallah, a simple sign, paint something up on the wall there and you couldn't do that. And so he responded, no, I am working on it. And so I said, khair, inshallah. He's already late. Let it be. Subhanallah, about 2 days later, he messages with a beautiful sign. He says, you know what, we were busy, we've ordered that sign, and this is the sign that we've now put up, walhamdulillah. So mashallah, within a few days, he had a fantastic sign. In fact, blew me out of the water that I didn't expect them to go and put such a beautiful sign. I thought he would just write something on the wall there, paint something on the wall that here lies a masjid, turn right for the masjid. But mashallah, excellent, beautiful, proper, professional sign they put up there. Walhamdulillah. So excellent to that Imam Bamsi, Tembo Bamsi. Walhamdulillah. So we continued our visits on this day. It was just full of site visits. We need to visit the site. Why? Because it gives you an idea of the opportunities available to the Imam. You can understand his environment, his situation. You don't have false expectations placed upon him. We want you, Imam, to visit the school and the hospital and do street da'wah and jail visit. There's no jails near him, there's no schools near him, there's no hospitals or clinics near him, etc., etc. Right? So one has to visit the site to get an understanding of the environment of the Imam. We even left Lusaka and we visited one of the Imams in Kafui. I think that's how you pronounce it, Kafui, one of the towns outside of Lusaka. So this was Wednesday the 22nd, headed out, visiting the various sites with Mawlana Ikram and Mawlana Ali, walhamdulillah. We also had lunchware at the Cake Bar. It's called the Cake Bar, and this is a small restaurant / takeaway place owned by that Muhammad Patel, whose house we had dinner at the previous night, walhamdulillah. So it's one of these shopping malls owned by Muslims, and he's got a shop there. Was very, very tasty, walhamdulillah. We move on to Thursday the 23rd. Subhanallah, there was an imam who messaged the previous day, and he said, you know what, I was unable to make it for the interviews. Please, please, please make an exception for myself and plus minus six other imams. There was a situation which was out of our hands and we were unable to make it for the interviews. Can you please make an exception? I said, khair, no problem. Be at the hotel at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, and we'll do your interviews before we leave for the site visits. I'm downstairs and I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. We're waiting for this imam. Where is this imam? Where are the imams, etc.? Messaging him, no reply. Messaging him, no reply. Eventually call him and the man is sleeping. He's fast asleep, subhanAllah. He answers and he's groggy. I said, Imam, you said you wanted us to do an interview for you because you couldn't make it for the interviews on the Tuesday. So we made an exception. Where are you now? I can't make it. Something came up. It's out of my control. And so I said, subhanAllah, brother. I mean, you could at least send a message. You wanted us to bend the rules and make room for you. We did so. Now, at least have the decency to message and say that, you know what, I can't make it. Allahu musta'an, Allahu musta'an, Allahu musta'an. And so that was that conversation with that imam. Walhamdulillah, it's maybe a day ago or 2 days ago, this imam, he messaged. And he says, brother, I want to say to you that I'm extremely sorry. I apologize. My behavior was out of place. It was incorrect. You made an exception and I should have informed you, etc., etc. Please forgive me. It's been sitting on my chest for the past 1 week. We said, khair, brother. No worries. Apology accepted. Barakallahu feekum. Walhamdulillah. And so this is now the Thursday the 23rd. So that imam and the other imams didn't pitch up. And we've forgiven them. Walhamdulillah. And then we went with Mawlana Ali to do some of the side visits. We also visited a fantastic orphanage there in Lusaka. And the people of Lusaka, those that we interacted with, some of them even said that I would love for my kids to go to that orphanage. But they have parents, so they're not allowed, Jayid. But otherwise, if I could pay for them to go and study at that orphanage there, it would be excellent. Why? Because, mashallah, it's run like a well-oiled machine. Walhamdulillah. You look at the kids. They are smart. They are clean. They are happy. The kids are happy. Walhamdulillah, Jayid. I think there's plus minus about 200 youngsters, orphans, who are there at this orphanage. And it's run by Mawlana Bilal Wali or Mawlana Bilal Al Master. I'm not too sure about the surname. Good brother, mashallah. Two of them, they are brothers. Two brothers. They are the ones who are part and parcel of the admin there. Alhamdulillah. So very, very nice orphanage there in Lusaka. The dormitory of the students, you can see that the roof is nice and high. The windows are open. Very good ventilation. Alhamdulillah. The kids are wearing nice, smart, clean clothes. Alhamdulillah. Excellent, mashallah. So the day went doing the various site visits, and opposite of the university there in Lusaka, I noticed the day that we arrived, there was a sign there, the Shia Center of Lusaka, and there's a public library. So I said to Mulana Ali, you know, can we stop by there? Let's just stop by there and let's see what they have there, what exactly is the center, what are they running. And so we went there, mashallah, and we met up with a local Zambian brother by the name of Zubair Jaid. And so they had a big library, and I said to brother Zubair, you know what, I'm here and just visiting from South Africa, can I get some books, Jaid? You have many books here, can I pick up some books? He said, no problem, inshallah. And so we chose quite a few books, a whole stack of books. Alhamdulillah, he gave it to us completely free. Alhamdulillah, Jaid. And so this brother Zubair, he studied in South Africa at the Al-Mustafa College of the Shia in Johannesburg, and then he also went to Iran and he studied there for 4 years, and now he is back in Zambia. And he said to me, but the director, I think the brother's name was Musawi, he's not here at the moment. Later on in the day, that brother, he contacted me, he phoned me, he says, brother, you know what, I missed you, can you come back? I said, no brother, you know, we are so busy now, unable to make it, but maybe in a future visit, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. And so alhamdulillah, they were quite comfortable in giving us those books. Sometimes at some of the centers, they're very apprehensive in giving out their books, especially some of the important books. But mashallah, brother Zubair, he was, you can take whatever you want. Alhamdulillah. And but unfortunately, they have many of the books there which they are giving in the English language and distributing, full of slander and sab and shatam of the sahaba companions of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a book on Abu Huraira, etc., that Abu Huraira was this and that, etc. And so that's a big problem. That's a big problem. Allahu musta'an. Allah. One might counter argue that technically, if there's no criticism of the Sahaba or slander of the Sahaba, etc., then the pillars of Shiism, they fall down. So there has to be that. Otherwise, it can't stand. Allahumma musta'an. Ala kulli hal. So that was the visit to the Shia center, and we collected that whole stack of books. And then dinner was at a new restaurant / takeaway place called the Texan, and we had dinner with brother Rashid Limbada and other representatives of Makeni Islamic Center, and also the head of the Halal Authority, brother Harun Zulu. I think he is the Amir, he is the head of the Halal Authority. And this Texan restaurant was also certified by them. Alhamdulillah. So that was the Thursday. Friday was our day out of Zambia. Sheikh Musa Saeed. And Sheikh Musa Saeed, he had studied in Islamabad. So he picked us up from the hotel and dropped us off at the airport. Alhamdulillah. So that was our Monday to Friday visit of Zambia. First trip to Zambia, and khair and barakah. It was good. Alhamdulillah. What's next with regards to Zambia? Well, we require finding a good partner / facilitator. Important matter. You have donors, mashallah, and then you have those who implement on the ground. And many a times when it comes to da'wah, we forget about the middleman, the facilitator. Many a times these facilitators play an enormous, huge role when it comes to the matters of da'wah. One example. Recently, we put up a borehole in Malawi. We received a quote. The imam had gotten a quote from one of the companies. We sent it to one of our friends, one of our partners, one of our facilitators. And I think within an hour, we received a huge discount on that quote. Why? because mashallah, this brother is a facilitator, and he spoke to the company. He says, you know what, I do many boreholes with you guys, this is not the price you give me. And so mashallah, very quickly the price was lowered, walhamdulillah. Recently we required purchasing 45 laptops for the 45 imams in Malawi, and mashallah, this contact, that contact, somebody knows somebody, mashallah, and we got a good deal on those 45 laptops, walhamdulillah. We were in Malawi, as we will discuss, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, the airport pickup. We had a SIM card ready, waiting for us, walhamdulillah. We had a driver. Where did all of this come from? Facilitators of da'wah. You have the donor on one side, you have the implementer on the ground, but in the middle, many a times you require these facilitators of da'wah. Allah reward every single individual who facilitates da'wah. Allah bless them in this world and in the hereafter. Allah grant them khair and barakah in both worlds. And so with regards to Zambia, the next step inshallah is to find an appropriate facilitator. Number two, to choose 10 imams to begin the program with, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant khair and barakah in the effort. Ameen. So Sheikh Musa Saeed, as he picked us up from the airport when we landed in Zambia, he dropped us off at the airport there, walhamdulillah, and off to Zimbabwe it was, via Kenyan Airlines, I think it was. And so a short trip, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. We landed in Zimbabwe on that Friday morning, and walhamdulillah, Sheikh Rashid Materia was there to pick us up. Sheikh Rashid Materia, he had studied in the Medina University before myself. And in our last trip to Zimbabwe, Sheikh Rashid Materia attended one of the networking meetings. And ever since, walhamdulillah, he has been a great help, walhamdulillah. So he had picked us up from the airport and we headed off to his house. Then we went for Salatul Jumu'ah at Masjid Al-Falah there in Harare. We had lunch at his place and then we hit the road to where? To the resort, Bushman's Rock Resort, outside Harare, plus minus 40 kilometers. Walhamdulillah, once we got there, we saw all the imams were there on time, mashallah, tabarakallah. So the imams, that was excellent, they were on time. I think it was just maybe one or two who had come a bit late. There was the welcome, the introduction, imams met one another. Many imams, this might have been the first time that they met one another. Maybe they had just seen one another, maybe they never met before. All 25 imams from across Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe, at the end of the day, is not a very large country, but mashallah, from the various provinces, the imams were there, walhamdulillah. So there was the welcome, the introduction. We had just done a quick revision session going through the rules and the regulations of the Imam Development Program. The imams had to prepare different talks, the tribes of Zimbabwe. I dream of a day when, complete the sentence, complete the paragraph. They had between 2 to 5 minutes for this presentation. 10 facts with regards to Christian evangelism in Africa. 5 facts on the life of Sheikh Ahmed Didat. The political history of Zimbabwe. The history of the Muslims in Zimbabwe. So they had to choose whatever topic they wanted to present on, and they had 2 to 5 minutes for that presentation. Also, we had the other one, which was, tell us something about yourself that we will never ever forget you after listening to that story. Whenever we see you, it's that story which will come to mind, anything from your life. And so those were good exercises, walhamdulillah. So this was the Friday. So we started the retreat on Friday. Retreat ended on the Sunday. The dinner, mashallah, on Friday evening, all the meals in reality were excellent, walhamdulillah. And something occurred during this dinner, and there's a lesson in it. So for dinner, there was rice prepared, and there were also other dishes. And one of the imams said to one of the waiters, do you have sadza? Sadza is this like maize meal kind of dish. So do you have sadza? So the waiter went to the chef and said, they are asking for sadza. Now the chef got a bit worried and anxious. He phones up the manager and he says that these people are asking for sadza. They are demanding for sadza. They want sadza. You need to give me more cash tomorrow. I need to go to town, Harare, and I need to buy sadza. I'm busy eating and I get a call from the manager. Manager says, Bilal, how are you, Dada, etc. Brother Bilal, you know what? Your team members, they are demanding for Sadza. We've prepared X, Y, and Z and they are demanding for Sadza. I said, Subhanallah, nobody is demanding anything. We are all seated here. Everybody is happy. The meal is fantastic. Excellent. Walhamdulillah. Went to the chef, went to the manager who was on duty at the time and quickly resolved the matter. The Imam said, all I asked, brother, you have rice here. Do you have sadza? No, khalas, no problem at all. Rice is fantastic, no issue at all. So this was a quick example of Chinese whispers or Chinese telephone as it's called, Jaid. You say something, the person hears something else, they pass it on to the next individual, and subhanAllah, by the time it reaches the last person, it's completely changed, it's completely misunderstood. And so important for us to verify, check up. Allahu musta'an. So that was the Friday, walhamdulillah. We continued our session until 9 p.m. We were all around the fire, walhamdulillah. Beautiful. Having imams of different backgrounds, maybe even different madhahib and masalik, etc., all coming together. Beautiful, mashallah. Jaid, the Saturday morning we started early, tahajjud at 4:30. Then we prayed Salatul Fajr in Jama'ah. There was a quick reminder after Salatul Fajr. We continued to remain in Adhkar and Dhikr, the morning Adhkar and recitation of the Noble Quran until sunrise. After sunrise, they prayed the two rakahs of Salatul Ishraq, and then we headed out for a small hike. This was excellent. So there was a hike. Then we went to this open field, mashallah, in front of the resort. Massive, massive field, subhanallah. It's a horse polo field, plus minus the size of like 4 soccer fields or even bigger. And so, mashallah, the imams were there. We were racing with one another. We played catching game. Catching game, mashallah. Jaid, all these adult mashayikh and imams playing catching game. There was also a wrestling match we had done, and it was excellent, walhamdulillah. Jaid, later on in the day, we went down to the dam and we did some canoeing. For many imams, it was the first time in their life that they did canoeing. For most of them, this was the first time in their life that they were like at a fancy resort. This Bushman's Peak Resort is very fancy, and so the imams really appreciated it, walhamdulillah. And so then was breakfast. We had our sessions from 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. There was various topics, other discussions. Then for lunch, we had sent out a few invites. Sheikh Anubi of Direct Aid. Direct Aid, formerly known as Africa Muslim Agency. They are based in Kuwait, and they have many du'at in Zimbabwe. And I think about 5 or 6 of their du'at are also on the Imam Development Program. We also invited Mulana Shabir Menk, Mulana Musa Menk. Unfortunately, they were unable to make it, but they did send a representative. And Sheikh Shu'aib Asali had also come from New Hope Center. And so a few guests had joined for the lunch, walhamdulillah. And it's good for the Imams to meet with them and connect with them. Very, very good, walhamdulillah. The day continued with our various sessions. There was a very emotional session in the evening. One of the imams, when he was speaking about the day and the story that we will always remember him by, he spoke about his difficulty growing up. Jayid, he mentions like the place he was staying to the place that he had gone to school was so far, subhanAllah. I mean, everybody was shocked. The distance that he had to walk, the distance he had to walk every day to go to school, plus minus like about 20 or more kilometers, Allahumma musta'an. He broke down, he was in tears, he was from a poor, very poor background, he was an orphan. Another imam also came from a very poor background. He would carry his brother and they would go to school, carry his brother on the back, Allahumma musta'an. Very tough backgrounds, Allahumma musta'an. There was the one sister, Sister Zainab, she mentions that once she had gone out in da'wah, herself and another sister, they had come to the town. There was some delay in the taxi, came to the town late, and there was no transport now. So they saw some light in the distance. They went there. This was a bar. And so the guy opens up. It's like 8 o'clock in the night. Who are you two women? What are you guys doing here? They said, no, we were supposed to go to a certain place, but it's too late. There's no transport. So this guy from the bar, mashallah, he got them. He told them, you know, jump in my car. And he took them there. Walhamdulillah. They said, even the next day, he came to check up on them. Came to check up that they were safe. And so he asked them, two women like you coming from Harare all alone, I mean, what's it all about? So they said, no, it's da'wah. What's da'wah? What's Islam? They got talking, masha'Allah. And so he says, I mean, this is why you people came? I mean, this must be something great and ajeeb, masha'Allah. And subhanAllah, the sister mentions that he eventually became Muslim. This person here from the bar eventually became Muslim, alhamdulillah. There was another imam, he mentions his father was very, very, very ill. And his mom was looking after the father. And this imam, he was still studying at the time. And when he had come home, there was some group of pastors or churchgoers, and they had come home and they said, you know what, let us please pray for the father, and we feel that there's some black magic done on him and he will be cured. And so the sheikh said, no, I will never allow this, will not allow this. The mom said, let them just pray something, let them pray, maybe it will benefit. And he said, no, I will never allow this, I can't allow this, and this is not allowed. And so he stood his ground, he was principled, and then he mentions he had gotten some money together, he paid some charity on behalf of his father, so that his father would get well. And alhamdulillah, a few days later, his father's condition got better, alhamdulillah. There was a story that one of the imams from the various IDP bonuses, one of them was that you run a few WhatsApp courses. He mentioned, subhanAllah, that he was running this WhatsApp course and he had non-Muslims in the group. And one of the non-Muslims was his own mother, Jayid. His mother couldn't read, she can't write, she can't read. But she can listen to the WhatsApp audios. So one of the lessons he recorded and he sent on the group, his mother listened to it. And he mentions himself that, subhanAllah, that lesson when I recorded it, you know, I mean, like ideas and stuff and the way he spoke, he even shocked himself, mashallah, Jaid. He even shocked himself, subhanAllah, that how well it was done. And his mother listened to it. And the next day or a few days later, his mom comes to him and she says that she wants to become a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, she embraced Islam. So here he says that his own mother who used to support him and allowed him and sent him to study, etc. But she was not Muslim, right? Here she listens to his own lesson. Alhamdulillah, she becomes Muslim, mashallah. And this imam here, he also mentions that in the month of Ramadan, we had this bonus that Imam, you make a wish. Whatever wish you want, you make a wish in the month of Ramadan. And if we can fulfill it, we will try our level best to fulfill it. And so the Zimbabwean Imams just were added onto the Imam Development Program like a month before Ramadan. So they were brand new. So he says that he wished for completion of his home. He had this home, he needed to put a roof and do all of the other building stuff there. And it was a huge amount of money. And he felt that I'm new to the IDP. I don't think, you know, I might get selected for this wish. But he discussed with his wife and they said, well, there's no harm in trying. Put the wish down and let's make it and let's see what happens. So he said what he did was, he got the whole family together to wake up for Tahajjud Salah. They all prayed Tahajjud Salah. They made dua and then he typed out the wish and he sent it to the IDP. He said also the same day, he went out, took some money and he bought some rice and some food items, some sugar and stuff, and distributed it to some of the very poor Muslims in the area. So he gave them that in the hope that as I fulfilled the wish of these people, I've assisted them, Allah will assist me in getting my wish sorted out. And alhamdulillah, within a few days, his wish was selected. And mashallah, that house is now complete. Alhamdulillah. So this was the Saturday of the retreat, the 25th. And then Sunday was similar. We started again at 4:30, tahajjud, and then Fajr Salah, reminder, recitation of the Noble Quran. And those reminders, mashallah, have been recorded. And they are up on the Imam Development Program YouTube channel, alhamdulillah. Our sessions, we also had a photographer, mashallah. One of the imams, he said that he knows somebody, a friend of his, he's a photographer, and so this non-Muslim photographer was with us for the duration of the retreat. By the end of it, and his name, he goes by the name Professor. By the end of it, he's saying to us that, you know, I've learned so much. I know the word mushkila and jayyid and mumtaz and all of these things. Alhamdulillah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open up his heart to Islam. Ameen, ameen. So that was the Sunday. We ended off the retreat at 11 a.m., giving the imams opportunity to get back to their homes and their houses, etc. Some of them had traveled great distances, and so they had that time there. Alhamdulillah. So Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, this was our Friday, Saturday and Sunday retreat in Zimbabwe with 25 imams. And it was excellent. Provided the opportunity for the imams to get to know one another, provided opportunity for us, the IDP, to really get to know the imams. Alhamdulillah. After we ended off the retreat with Sheikh Rashid Materia, we visited one of the newly built masajid in the area. And then we headed off towards Harare. And the next morning, the Monday, it was out of Zimbabwe towards where? Towards Malawi, inshallah. But just before ending on Zimbabwe, two points. Number one, that the imams, the impression of the imams, the comments from the imams, that this was the first time in the life of the imam he ever attended a thing like this. Jayid, it was excellent, subhanAllah. I mean, you can't put a price to the fawaid and the benefit that comes out of these retreats. Generally, the retreats are like 3 nights, but because of pricing and time, the Zimbabwe one was only 2 nights. The other point that, subhanAllah, the Monday morning, as we were planning to leave Harare, one of the brothers, his business was robbed. His business was robbed the previous night and they had taken a substantial amount of money. But subhanAllah, this brother, and we were with him on the Monday morning, he's just in the dhikr of Allah, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah. We went for Salatul Fajr together and, you know, he's saying Allah knows best. Allah knows best, and you know, he's not swearing, he's not angry, he's not like phoning up the guys who work for him, why did you leave the cash there, and why didn't you do X, Y, and Z, and what? Qadar of Allah, he accepted it in its stride, and I would think that if somebody doesn't have Islam, they're unable to deal with these matters, very difficult for them to deal with these matters, great loss and stuff like this. Allahu musta'an, jayid. But the believer, he knows, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong and to Allah we will return. Forget our money and this, we will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever loses something, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, Allah will replace it with better, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, jayid. So alhamdulillah, that was our trip to Zimbabwe. We headed off towards the airport and it was Ethiopian Airlines, Malawian Airlines, they operate together. And so it was Harare. We're going back to Lusaka, from Lusaka to Lilongwe and then to Blantyre. Jayid, Allah musta'an, the connection there to Malawi a bit difficult. And so from Harare, flew to Lusaka, remained in the plane and then to Lilongwe. Lilongwe changed planes and then moved on to Blantyre. We reached Blantyre on Monday the 27th around the afternoon. And we were picked up from the airport by Brother Mike. Brother Mike works for a good brother by the name of Mudathir. And we call Mike Zoom Zoom. He was with us in the previous trip when we went north, the extreme north of Malawi, Karonga, and he drove us throughout. Alhamdulillah, Allah opened up his heart towards Islam. We dropped off our bags at the Masjid Moody guest house. So mashallah, in Blantyre, just outside Blantyre, Limbi, there's a masjid called Masjid Moody. And next to the masjid, they have a guest house. And so many du'at and organizations and people who like maybe run madrasas, they're doing some charity work in Malawi. Many of them stay in this guest house there. Alhamdulillah, completely free. You get your breakfast there, mashallah. Clothing washed, all of this here in order. Alhamdulillah. Very nice place, mashallah. Allah tabarakallah. And then we had dinner with this brother Mudathir, and he arranged for that SIM card. He arranged and sorted out our meal, our dinner, arranged the transport. That Mike Zumzum works for brother Mudathir, and even our accommodation in Mangochi was also arranged for us in advance. Alhamdulillah, really was a great facilitator and a massive help. Alhamdulillah. Tuesday was a busy day. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in Malawi was extremely, extremely busy. We visited over 20 imams at their centers, at their masajid. What's the benefit? When you visit the center, the masjid, the markaz, you meet with the chief, you meet with the masjid committee, you meet with maybe at times the employer of the imams, it really assists, mashallah. It opens up the communication lines. You benefit from understanding the situation, the hal of the imam, what opportunities he has around him, what challenges he has around him, etc., etc. And so on this Tuesday, 7:30 in the morning, we headed off. We went south to Mulanje. So from Blantyre, we went south to the place called Mulanje. There we visited Imam Abu Bakr Qasim. And Abu Bakr Qasim, his father is Qasim Abu Bakr. And Qasim Abu Bakr is now 85 years of age. He had gone in the year 1956 to Zanzibar to study Islamic studies himself. And there's a famous Mufti Abbas, rahimahullah, he passed away. And so about three or four of them, they were chosen to go to Zanzibar to go and study Islamic studies. They had returned, and mashallah, they are from the pioneers of da'wah there in Malawi. We did a quick interview with him also, alhamdulillah. He's 85 years old. He is, mashallah, very strong. He cycles every day. He's still an imam of a masjid. And so his son, Abu Bakr Qasim, is an imam on the IDP. And we noticed that many of the imams, their centers are not on Google Maps. And so whenever we visited a center, we added that place, added it to Google Maps. Right. We also met with Sheikh Saleh Chulundu. He is one of the Al Baraka charity supervisors of madrasas. He was also there at the house of Sheikh Qasim Abu Bakr. And so, mashallah, we got to know him there. Walhamdulillah. After meeting up with this Mulanje Abu Bakr Qasim, we took him and we went to visit another imam, IDP imam, by the name of Chasweka Kapito. And so we visited him, visited his center, mashallah. Then we headed off to the third imam, Chilipa, Ayami Chilipa in Tiolo. And this area is full of tea plantations. They grow tea there in Malawi. So tea plantations, very beautiful garden. And his center is under Albina Charity Trust. Very beautiful garden there, alhamdulillah. Something to note, that many masajid, unfortunately in Malawi, that around the masjid, the trees have been chopped down. There's not much grass that is growing. They might have a borehole, but there's not much grass around that borehole. And so a lot of the rain water, the rainfall, etc., it just runs off. It just flows off and it does not penetrate into the ground because there's no proper ground cover. There's no grass, there's no trees and stuff. Mushkila, Jade. And then many a times for baking the bricks that they use to build the houses, they cut down many of the trees. And so this is a mushkila. Deforestation is an issue there in Malawi. We most likely will do a bonus with the imams and offer a good carrot, a good prize for the imams who plant trees around their center, imams who ensure that there is ground coverage in terms of grass. Maybe we launch the bonus next month, and the end of it, we want to see before and after pictures. A few months ago, we did a restoration / beautification bonus. One of the imams in Malawi, they planted about 100 trees around their center, subhanAllah, Jaid. We want the other imams to also follow suit, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. So, ala kulli hal, we had visited in the south of Blantyre, south of Malawi. We visited Mulanje, visited Imam Abu Bakr Qasim, and then Chasweka, and then Chilipa. We spoke about the tea gardens. Then we headed back to Blantyre. We picked up 30 laptops. We ordered 45 laptops, walhamdulillah, from Timeline Electronics. We picked up 30, and the other 15 we arranged for it to be delivered to the imams. 30 we took with us, and then we visited some of the imams in Blantyre that we had not previously visited. So up to date, walhamdulillah, all 45 imams in Malawi, we have visited the site of every single one of those imams, walhamdulillah. We visited Imam Abdul Rashid Ali. He works at a blind school there in Malawi. We dropped off his laptop. He was very happy, very excited, alhamdulillah. Then we went to the Al Baraka Center. Three of the IDP imams met us there. We gave them their laptops. And also at the center here, Charity Right from the UK, they have one of their feeding schemes that takes place there at the center. Some months ago, one of the imams, he mentions that my madrasa attendance goes up and down. The student attendees, sometimes on Monday there's this number, Tuesday there's a different number, they walk in at 3:30, 4:30, etc. There's no consistency. So Imam, what can we do? What can you do? He says, well, maybe if I had some assistance with some sandwiches, then this will ensure consistency of attendance. And so we said, inshallah, let's try this out. And that imam, alhamdulillah, he started the program. Every Saturday, what he can afford, every Saturday he does feeding in his madrasa. But we spoke to Charity Right in the UK and said, you know what, this is a problem here. Can you guys come and maybe check it out? And so alhamdulillah, they came, Brother Sajjad and his team, they came and they checked it out. And so they have been doing a pilot program at 3 centers of the IDP imams. And so Charity Right, in partnership with Ma'aisha Trust and the Imam Development Program, they rolled this out at 3 centers. And bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, this month, they most likely going to roll it out to maybe another 10 centers, 10 masajid, madrasas, walhamdulillah. So we checked out those 3 imams, gave them their laptops, mashallah, they were super excited. We didn't buy any Celeron type of laptop, rather it is the Pentium, it is the P3 laptops, walhamdulillah, good quality laptops, mashallah. And then we moved on to Imam Rajab Makanda, visited his place. Also, there's a Charity Right feeding that takes place there. Alhamdulillah, beautiful uniforms. The sisters who are in charge of the feeding, they have these fancy uniforms there. Alhamdulillah. Then we visited Imam Ismail Katuli, his center, gave him the laptop. And every imam with the laptop, they got a small book, The Role of the Masjid in Islam. Some of them had ordered Yassaran al-Quran copies. And so 120 Yassaran al-Quran copies we had given out. And also, in the previous months, we had some flash bonuses and other bonuses. And so those imams who had won those bonuses, we handed off their prizes to them. Some of them got this fancy, fantastic book on Masjid Al-Aqsa and the history of Masjid Al-Aqsa. Others got a 500 rand book prize. So a whole set of books there, alhamdulillah. After Sheikh Ismail Katuli, we visited the center of Sheikh Atiyah. Sheikh Atiyah is an Egyptian. He's living in Blantyre for some time now. And this center used to be under Rabita, under World Muslim League, and it was for the Hifz of Quran, memorization of the Noble Quran. And one of the IDP imams, Sheikh Imran, his two students are also studying at the center. So mashallah, he met up with them there, alhamdulillah. Then Sheikh Imran took us to a piece of land. Somebody has offered him this land and this house. He is into his passion, is looking after orphans. So this is what he wants to do. And so he wanted us to check out that place, that his future plans, inshallah, if all goes according to plan, then he wants to open up like a small type of orphanage there. We told him, yeah, Imran, you need to think about the matter. You need to deliberate over the matter. You need to plan properly, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, with regards to this matter. Looking after orphans is not an alif ba type of matter. It's a very great responsibility, very massive responsibility. And only when he is completely ready, then only should he take on that responsibility. Then, alhamdulillah, with Brother Mudathir, we did a bit of walking. We try, alhamdulillah, to do about 13,000 steps every day. But while traveling at times, it's very difficult. Allahu musta'an. So we were with Brother Mudathir there. And then we went to a stationery shop. We were supposed to meet with this brother, but unfortunately, he was not available. And then we went to Mug and Bean. Yes, they have Mug and Bean in Malawi. Alhamdulillah, we had a quick sandwich there, and that was the day. It was an extremely long day, but very productive, alhamdulillah. We move on to the Wednesday. Wednesday, we started early. We left our accommodation at about 7:30 in the morning, and now we are heading out of Blantyre, and we are moving north. We are moving north. And so we headed off towards Zomba. And here we met Sheikh Uthman. Sheikh Uthman, mashallah, in the Ramadan, he wished for a motorbike. And he got a motorbike, alhamdulillah, that he would mention that he travels great distances in doing da'wah. And so a motorbike would help him in his da'wah. And so, alhamdulillah, he got the motorbike. We also noticed that the masjid, this masjid here, very big masjid, mashallah, there in Zomba, was built a few years ago. But it's deteriorating fast. And so we said, why? What's the reason? I mean, this masjid looks like it's been here for like 20 years, but it's only been here for like 3 or 4 years. They said, yeah, many a times the construction company, they're not using good quality products. Jayid, Allah musta'an, that's a very, very big mushkila. Ala kulli hal, then also Sheikh Ibrahim Bwana joined us there at the center. We handed the laptops over to both of them, alhamdulillah. Then we headed off to Sheikh Abdul Rashid Saeed. Sheikh Abdul Rashid Saeed, I remember it was last year or the year before when we had interviews in Zomba. he had cycled from his masjid to the place where we did the interviews. It took him about 1.5 hours of cycling, Jade. It's like plus minus 20 kilometers. He said he cycled for like an hour and a half or 2 hours to get there for the interview, subhanAllah, Jade. A very good brother, mashaAllah. It's a newly built masjid. And he also looks after quite a few orphans. We did a quick video with him. He says that these orphans, and also some of them are not orphans, but because they live a distance from the masjid, coming every day for madrasa is difficult. So they stay there at the masjid. He's got this room. They eat together. The community puts money together and provides for their food so that they are able to go to school, government school, and then they do their madrasa. So they are basically boarders there at the Islamic Center. Allah make it easy for Sheikh Abdul Rashid Saeed. Then we visited Sheikh Ayed Mustafa, handed over his laptop, checked up on Google, whether his place is on Google Maps, added it if it was not, gave the various books. And at his place, there were about 6 other imams that got together. And so we did their IDP interviews. And now we've realized we are sitting with plus minus maybe 100 or 200 Malawi applications, right? And so there's no point in us just allowing imams to continue to apply. We advised our admin, remove Malawi from the list of application options. So anyone in Malawi now, they cannot apply to the IDP. Why? Because we have too many applications, over 200 applications sitting on our desk at the moment, right? So we rather try to sort that out before looking at new applications. So we did these 6 interviews with these imams there, alhamdulillah, and then we headed off to Liwonde Main Masjid. At Liwonde Main Masjid, and this masjid is under the Bilal Trust. Bilal Trust, mashaAllah, they have many masajid and imams under the organization doing some very good work there in Malawi, walhamdulillah. So at Liwonde Main Masjid, we prayed Salatul Zuhr. After Salatul Zuhr, we also addressed the Jama'ah. We had about 5 to 7 IDP imams who met us there, and we called them out in the front there. We said to the Jama'ah that these people here, they are your leaders. They are the imams in the community. You are supposed to respect them and honor them and turn to them for assistance, etc., etc. And also from the imam side, there is amana and responsibility upon their shoulders that if you people need to learn Quran, you need to understand something about Islam, you have a question, etc., etc., O jama'ah, O community, these are the people you are supposed to turn to and ask them, and they are supposed to make themselves available in the teaching of you people. So, alhamdulillah, we just spoke a little bit there with regards to the imams and with regards to the community. Then we met with Sheikh Mustafa Yusuf, who is the imam there, Sheikh Shafi Dua, Sheikh Sanud Kawinga, Sheikh Abdul Rashid Ali, Sheikh Capito, Abdul Hakim Capito, Sheikh Suleiman, Sheikh Jannah, Changamile, and a few others. So alhamdulillah, that was a good meeting there. We gave them their laptops and the books and all of these things. Then we headed off to the next imam, and that is Imam Dawood Kabota. And I think this region falls within the area of Machinga, Jaid. And one of the aims and objectives of this trip here was to interview imams in Machinga, because recently there were some videos that were spread around of like some Muslim kids in this church here singing church songs and stuff like this. And so there has been some need for activity in Machinga. And so alhamdulillah, even the IDP imams on a monthly basis, quite a few of them have been gathering together and they've been doing programs in the area of Machinga. So we come to Imam Dawood Kabota, sorted him out, gave him whatever was due to him in terms of the laptop and the books and stuff like that. And then we headed to Ntaja. This was my first time visiting Taja, the main masjid. We stopped at the masjid, a very big masjid, mashaAllah. And here we met with about 15 to 20 imams. There was also a muallima. We did their interviews. They had applied to IDP. And so we met up with them here in the district of Machinga, and more specifically in the town of Taja. We did the interviews. Alhamdulillah. Before the interviews, we also gave them a quick rundown with regards to the Imam Development Program. What's it about? How do we operate? Etc. etc. We also said to the Imams that please, wallahi, we love you for the sake of Allah, but don't be messaging us via WhatsApp every day and sometimes at odd hours. One of the Imams, he messaged recently at 11:28 or 29. So I messaged him the next day. I said, Sheikh, please don't message at this time. MashaAllah. The next day, what did he do? He messaged at 11:22 p.m. SubhanAllah. Right? Others, they might message, Salaamu Alaikum. And then silent. They wait for our salam. Wa alaikum salam. How are you? Then we must respond. What are you doing? We must respond. Ya doktor, wallahi, we don't have the time for that, subhanAllah, Jaid. You want to send a message quickly, send the message, the whole story, and so we can give you a quick response. And if it is that I've applied to the IDP and what's the update, we will inform you, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, Jaid, that we do not add imams every second day. I applied today, I want a response the next day. It's not going to happen, subhanAllah, Jaid. We don't have any fancy building. We don't have a vehicle. We don't have an office. We are like an Uber organization, Jayid. And so bear with us bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, Jayid. Bear with us bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, that was the visit to Taja and those imams. We headed off from there and we stopped at the center in Namwera. Namwera now, this is now on the way to Mangochi. We stopped at Sheikh Musa Mdala's place. We handed over the laptops to him. We had visited his center before, alhamdulillah. And when we visited it before, we said to him, you know what, there's some like dirt around the center. Get all the students together. And they picked up all of the dirt. And so as soon as we got off the vehicle, we went straight to the center and checked around. Is there any dirt around? Well, alhamdulillah, it was relatively clean. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Then we moved on to Mangochi. We stopped at Kips. We had something to eat there. MashaAllah, Kips is Muslim owned and very tasty takeaway food there. Well, alhamdulillah. Accommodation was arranged by our brother Mudathir. We stayed at this highway lodge owned by some Muslims, alhamdulillah. So that was the Wednesday. Then we move on to the Thursday. Thursday morning, we started off very early. We visited Sheikh Masad Alik. Masad Alik, mashallah, is very, very good on Photoshop. We visited his center and we noticed his masjid is incomplete. And later on, we will visit Imam Abdurrahman James, and his masjid is also incomplete. And then they would say, you know, if anybody is available, anyone you know who can assist to complete it, we said, yeah, Imam, do it yourself. Do it yourself. Make a project, a program that Malawians doing it for themselves. And put out the word there, make some fancy posters, get a bank account in South Africa, and ask Malawians in South Africa to donate 50 rands. Just 50 rands. And I think within 2 weeks, you will be able to raise up the funds required to complete this masjid. Do it yourself. Don't wait for somebody to come and do the masjid and paint it and plaster it and all of and tile it. You do it yourself, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, right? So put out some notice there. Even there's many Malawians who are living in Zimbabwe and in Zambia. They are originally from Nyasaland, originally from Malawi. And so put out the notice that in Zimbabwe, we just want you to donate $5. Get one of the IDP Imam's bank accounts there in Zimbabwe. And so people can donate into that account. For the ones in South Africa, get a bank account here in South Africa. And so people can deposit here in this account. And then have about 4 or 5 mashayikh who will oversee the project to ensure that the funds are used as per what it was requested for. And I think you'll be able to do it. So we hope, inshallah, that Sheikh Masad Alik and Sheikh Abdurrahman James and others, they get together, they do some fancy videos of the center, some nice pictures, and then they put out the program, they put out the project, and they crowdfund, inshallah. Excellent. So we had visited Sheikh Masad Alik, then we visited Sheikh Abdul Hakim Isa, and he joined us. He's got a nice masjid there in Mangochi, in central Mangochi, Masjid Abu Bakr. He joined us for the rest of the day there in Mangochi. And so with him, we headed off towards Monkey Bay, Cape Maclear. It was a bit of a distance. And Alhamdulillah, there we met up with Sheikh Bashir Langesi. Sheikh Bashir Langesi, the main masjid there in Cape Maclear. And this is a place that is frequented by many tourists. And so very close to his masjid, mashallah, beautiful Lake Malawi. And we said to him, do you bring your students here to have a swim? So he said, yes, he does. And Alhamdulillah, the Saturday, he sent us pictures that after classes, he had taken his students for a good swim there. Alhamdulillah. And we also said to him, there's a lot of dirt in the yard. He says, no, but this is outside of the masjid boundaries. We said, yeah, Imam, it's in front of your masjid. Ensure that you clean up the place. Go and speak to this hotel and that hotel and this accommodation. Maybe put up some bins in the area so that people can throw their dirt into the bins. This is a place for tourists. You don't want it to be filthy. And via these type of activities, yeah, Imam, you will rise amongst the people in your community. And this will enhance your reputation amongst the people. People will respect you. People will look up to you. They will regard you as a community leader, inshallah. So that was Sheikh Bashir Langesi. Then we stopped at the center, Umar Al-Farooq Darul Uloom. This is also under the Bilal Trust. And here it was Imam Noor Fundi that we met. And he said, you know, please speak to some of the students, the advanced students. And so, alhamdulillah, for about 20 minutes, we addressed the students. Then we headed off to Sheikh Ofi James. Ofi James also just there in Mangochi. And we had Sheikh Abdul Hakim Isa with us. And so we asked him, did you perform Jumu'ah Salah at this guy's masjid? And Imam, did you go to the other Imam's masjid? They said, no. Said, you know, no, we didn't do that. And also this Imam here, Ofi James, his masjid is a Qadiriyya masjid. And they will never allow me to perform Jumu'ah there. He said, Ya Imam. Let us go. And so we went there and we met up with the trustee, we met up with the chief, and we got talking to him. And we said, Ya Imam, Ya Chief, I've been asking these Imams, did they do any type of swapping over for Jumu'ah? And they said, no. And they said, no, you know, Qadiriyya and Sukuti issues. Qadiriyya are those who, for example, engage in like the loud dhikr practices, whereas Sukuti at the time of janazah, they don't make any loud dhikr. Your basic tablighi and Sunni divide, your Barelvi, Diobandi divide. It's the similar Sufi, Salafi type of divide. Allahu musta'an. So we said to the chief, ya chief, look at the church in Mangochi. Mangochi, it was said that it is 100% Muslim, but look at the number of people who have left the fold of Al-Islam, Allahu musta'an. We said to him that a few years ago, we stayed in the house of the politician, the vice president of the ruling party, Brother Siddiq Mia, who passed away a few months ago due to COVID, Allahu musta'an. Was a very, very, very rich individual, very influential individual, very influential Muslim in Malawi, Allahu musta'an. And so Siddiq Mia had mentioned that about 40 years ago, the Muslim population was 50%, and today it's about 20 something. And so this is shocking, subhanAllah. And if we are still fighting about Qadri and Sukuti and these type of matters, then we have lost the plot. It's like a house on fire, and we are worried about the carpet, and we are worried about the dishes in the kitchen. Whereas there are people in the house that are burning alive. We're not worried about that, Allahu musta'an. And so the chief was like, yes, definitely. You know, we have bigger issues. And so he said, yes, this Imam here, he must come to our masjid, and he must do the Jumu'ah Salah. And our masjid Imam, he must go to the other masjid and they must cooperate with one another. Alhamdulillah. He also thanked that the IDP had facilitated a waqf kit for that masjid. Waqf kit, we've explained this previously, where we offer the Imams up to a maximum of 3,000 rands, and the masjid committee, they must match it with another 3,000 rands, and they take the 6,000 rands and they buy a waqf kit for their masjid and for their community. A waqf kit can include a trestle table, massive pot, spoons, cups, saucers, a 20 meter extension cord, mats. These items that every masjid, Islamic center, community center should have. And so a 50-50 partnership. We're not just giving it to them, no. Rather, they must send a letter that our Imam, they must acknowledge the Imam. Our Imam has brought it to our attention that the IDP is offering X, Y, and Z. We will love to be a recipient of one of the waqf kits, we will pay 50%, IDP pays 50%, and the Imam will be in charge of it. Alhamdulillah. So that was the masjid of Imam Awfi James. Then we headed off to Imam Shu'aib Milondi. We found that one of the taps outside that masjid was like just leaking water. We said, Imam, what's happening with the tap here? You guys are wasting water. And mashallah, within 5 minutes, they sorted it out and it was fixed. Alhamdulillah. Then we moved on to Sheikh Abdurrahman James. Abdurrahman James was deep in Katuli. This took us maybe over an hour to get there. Previously, we visited Imam Iqra Taiti in Katuli and we were unable to even visit there with the vehicle. You couldn't get there, Jay. Too difficult, subhanAllah. We hired a motorbike, took us 1.5 hours deep into that region, that area, and 1.5 hours back, subhanAllah. Well, this time, mashallah, it was a week ago that the president of Malawi had come to visit, and so they had cleaned up the roads, they had extended the roads, mashallah, even though there's no tar, but it was easy to drive upon it, walhamdulillah. So, mashallah, we visited Imam Abdurrahman James, his madrasa. We did a quick video there. A madrasa is basically your palm leaf type of setup, a very simple, basic type of madrasa. So that was Imam Abdurrahman James. There were many kids there, mashallah. Wherever we went, mashallah, we bought some sweets and stuff and we distributed it amongst the kids. Alhamdulillah. Then we made the long drive back to Blantyre. Took us about 2.5 hours. We got back to Blantyre and we had supper, dinner with Hafiz Faiz al-Qasim. MashaAllah, that masjid, the guest house next to it, Hafiz Faiz al-Qasim and his father, they were instrumental in putting it up. And so we had dinner with him. And I didn't know, only in this trip to Malawi, I found out that Hafiz Faiz al-Qasim, his father, had passed away a few months ago, subhanAllah. And there's a massive masjid that is being built in Blantyre. It's most likely going to be the biggest masjid in Blantyre, Masjid At-Taqwa, on the one of the main circles roads there in Blantyre. And Hafiz Faiz al-Qasim's father was instrumental in putting up that masjid. He was there like almost every second day or every day overseeing the whole project. But subhanAllah, a few months ago he fell ill due to COVID and he passed away. He was around 80 plus years of age. Allah grant him Jannah. Allah grant him Jannah. You find that many people speak highly of him, subhanAllah. Allah forgive his sins, fill his grave with light, and grant him Jannatul Firdaus, and unite the whole family in Jannatul Firdaus, and all of us in Jannatul Firdaus. So, alhamdulillah, that was the Thursday. Thursday is over now, mashallah. We only have the Friday to go through, and on Saturday, we return back to South Africa. So, the Friday, the 1st of October, we began the morning, we visited an orphanage there in Blantyre, run by a good sister. You can see she's very, very passionate, Sister Kothar. And on the day, on the first of every month, they have many of the non-Muslims who come through. You had those who were blind, you had those who were very ill, you had those who were disabled, subhanAllah, Jaid. You had orphans there. You had all different categories of people. They were all there to pick up their hampers. MashaAllah, she provides for them. And also, she runs the orphanage there. And those kids, there's plus minus about 70 of these girls who live on site there. Very nice, well-run orphanage. Walhamdulillah. The name of it is Rawdatul Yatama. And this is in Moody, the area called Moody. After the orphanage, we had a meeting at Ma'aisha Trust to do with the charity right feeding scheme. So they have a new brother in charge of that project. And his name is Brother Hilal, youngster. And he looks like a go-getter, inshallah. He will be successful in the program. Then we went for Salatul Jumu'ah at Masjid Moody. We had lunch again with Hafiz Faiz al-Qasim. And then Brother Mudathir picked us up and we had three talks at three different venues. Number one, the medical university. And so they were like about, I think about 30 students in total, Muslim students who were studying there out of a thousand students in the medical college. Very few Muslims in comparison to those who are not Muslim. Allahumma musta'an. And so we did a small talk there, got to know some of the students. Then we went to the IERA offices and met with many of the du'at there, quick motivational talk there. And then the evening, we went to, I think it's the Apostolic University. And mashallah, there was a bunch of very good Muslims turned out for their talk there. Alhamdulillah. We spoke about issues related to self-esteem. It's been said that some of the Muslims at university, they shy away from letting people know that they are Muslims. No, I'm not a Muslim. They hide the fact that they are Muslims. Allahu Mustaan. So there's the identity crisis, identity issue. We spoke about that knowledge is power, and you people at university, many a times you guys are going to be the leaders in the Muslim community in 10-15 years from now. But if your Islamic studies level of knowledge is extremely low, you don't even know how to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. They say to you, doctor, you make the dua, and then you are like, oh Father in heaven, etc., etc. I mean, that's a major mushkila. Allahumma musta'an. So we said that knowledge is power. And also, one of them had asked about alcohol addiction, because there's this great fitna on campus. No doubt, great fitna on campus. It's a mixed campus there. A majority non-Muslims, a lot of fitan. Allahumma musta'an. Allah keep them safe. Allahumma musta'an. We also had Brother Firdaus with us. Brother Firdaus is the coordinator, main coordinator there in Malawi for IERA. And so they have many du'at that go to the villages and do da'wah, and then do follow-up sessions with those who have become Muslim. Alhamdulillah, Allah keep them strong. Then we had dinner at Wumpy. Mug and Bean was closed, so we had to go to Wumpy. And so we had dinner there. And the Saturday morning, alhamdulillah, Brother Zoom Zoom picked us up, dropped us off at the airport, and we landed back safely in beautiful South Africa. Alhamdulillah. To cold weather in South Africa. It was hot in Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Malawi, but South Africa was raining, and so, but it's good to be back home. Alhamdulillah. So, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, this was our quick overview, inshallah. In reality, it was like 13 days that we've summarized into plus minus an hour. This was our trip to Zambia, main aim and objective, to network, to find an appropriate facilitator, and to interview imams. We hope to start with maybe 20 imams, but it seems that most likely we will only start with maybe 10 imams in Zambia. Zambia will be our fifth country, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. Then Zimbabwe, we have the retreat with all 25 imams, the fawaid and the benefits of getting them all together from different walks of life. Some of them studied in maybe the Arab land, some of them studied locally, somebody studied in maybe another African country. So they have different likes and tastes and different shades of grey, different masalik and madhahib and schools of thought. But getting them all together and play catching game together and wrestle a little bit, etc., builds bonds between them. Alhamdulillah. And then lastly, our site visits of over 20 imams in Malawi. And we also met with over 30 of the 45 imams. It was an excellent trip. Alhamdulillah. We ask Allah to bless us. We ask Allah to grant you khair and barakah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As has been said, that some of the other religions, you will find that this woman, she is in her 20s and she dedicates her life to her religion. She goes in deep Africa or in the Middle East or in the Philippines, and she's living there in the middle of nowhere for like 50-60 years. She's dedicated her life to that. Or this guy, the same with him. And so they have soldiers, they have men to do the work, but the religion itself does not have substance. The opposite with regards to us. The deen of Al-Islam, the deen of the truth, it has substance. That unfortunately, many a times we don't have the men. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we are trying to create those men. We need those men. We require those volunteers and those facilitators. Whatever, whoever, wherever you are, get involved in something. Do your part. Do your part. Hayyakum Allah. Until we meet again. Barakallahu feekum. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.